whatever you're thinking about peace and whatever you'd like to see happen about peace, the time that the reading that Jess read to us was actually from the prophet Micah, but we're probably more familiar with it because it occurs in Matthew's gospel to do with the birth of Jesus. And we'll hear it in the Christmas services as we go through, I'm sure. And you remember in Matthew chapter 2 that wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem to ask, where is he who has been born King of the Jews? For we saw his star in the east and we've come to worship him. And you remember that King Herod asked the scholars of the Bible where the Messiah was going to be born. And they answered him with this passage, which Jess read to us from the Bible, quoting the prophet Micah chapter 5. Messiah. What is the Messiah? Well, the Messiah is God's special agent to bring about God's will for the world. And you remember that the Micah prophecy spoke of the town. What was the town they spoke of? Bethlehem. And it's the town where King David was born because the Messiah was reckoned to be a descendant of King David. So God says through the prophet Micah concerning the little town of Bethlehem, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old and from ancient times. And what I realize when I study this passage is that when it's talking about the ruler over Israel, whose origins are from of old, from ancient times, those two concepts of ancient times and old are talking about God. So the Messiah is somehow going to come from God to be God's agent. And the prophecy goes on, Micah goes on to say that this Messiah would be like a shepherd who would bring security and peace. So you've been talking about peace. Chris mentioned that the Hebrew word for peace is shalom. And shalom is actually, in the Old Testament, a very rich word. It can mean all of these things. Peace, yes, absence of war, not much going on. But it can also mean prosperity, success, welfare, state of being in health rather than in sickness, harmony, right relationship, being in a state of being delivered from something awful, being saved from something difficult or painful. And we might use the word for shalom, well-being, today. And we might use it when we pray for the health and well-being of someone we care about. We pray for the shalom of God to be in their life. And it occurs in a very famous passage which God gave instructions through a prophet called Jeremiah. He was giving these instructions through the prophet Jeremiah to a shell-shocked people of God who just had to walk into exile 1,000 miles away from their homeland after a devastating defeat. And this is the passage. This is what the Lord, the Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Actually, Micah had prophesied this a couple of hundred years before. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons. Give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and daughters. Increase in number there and do not decrease. Then comes this passage. Also, seek the peace and prosperity, the shalom. Those two English words is just one word in Hebrew, shalom. Seek the shalom of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if this city prospers where you live, if it has shalom, you too will have shalom. You too will prosper. It's an astonishing attitude to have towards the enemy who's just defeated you and carted you off walking 1,000 miles into exile. However, going back to Matthew's gospel, we gather from the reply of the Bible scholars that they gave to King Herod that the baby Jesus was going to be the longed-for Messiah. He would be the shepherd Messiah to bring peace. Sadly, Herod wanted to hold on to power at all costs, like many rulers of today that we can think of. But Jesus, who was invested with power by God, came as the Prince of Peace, showing us the power of love. And I thought I'd quote to you from another prophet, Jimi Hendrix. When the power of love overcomes the love of power, the world will know peace. Jesus came as the Prince of Peace. He let go any power he may have had with God and just trusted and relied on the work of the Holy Spirit while he was living as a human being with us. And I think his actions showed love and the power of love. Okay, Jesus was born, in 4 BC or somewhere thereabouts? Did world peace break out? Or did world peace break out in 30 AD when he died on the cross? And today there are many conflicts taking place. We heard of a disturbance in Pakistan today. So how is it that Jesus brings peace? Well, this is what I think the Bible means by peace. When we think about ourselves as human beings, I believe that we are created by God for relationships. So as the human being that we are, each of us, we're enmeshed in a series of relationships. There's the spiritual one with God. I've drawn a little red arrow about the relationship I have with myself, you know, and I'm shaving in the morning, I'm looking at myself and saying, you don't look too good, Bill, today. How are you feeling? Okay, so we've got this internal relationship that we have with ourselves, our internal working. We're obviously relating to other human beings, and we're also relating to the world around us. The creation, I believe God caused the whole thing to come into being, our environment. So when we trust in Jesus, and we trust in him and his dying on the cross to put us right with God, it opens up a portal into our lives where God's shalom can come and operate in every area of our relationships. So I think that we can ask God to help us to renew each of these dimensions in our lives so that through Jesus we can have his love and his peace, his shalom, to be at work within our life and relationships. Now, shalom in our lives doesn't happen automatically. You know, it might be nice to say, oh, Jesus, come and work it out, you know, bring your shalom into my life and expect it all to go just like that. But God can give us resources, but we have to learn how to put them into action. And sometimes that requires working with other people, and it can be very costly. So it doesn't happen automatically. I'm just thinking of one of my grandsons, Noah, who is 7. I think we're going to buy him, don't tell him please, a Star Wars Lego for Christmas. But he has to put the Lego together in order to enjoy playing with it. We can give him the resources, but he has to take them and make them what he will of them. So God can give us the resource of shalom, of peace, but we have to see how that can be put into action in all of these relationships in our lives. And I don't know if you've been to New York and seen this. I haven't. I've been to New York, but I haven't seen this. It's in the garden of the United Nations building. And it's this bronze statue called Let Us Beat Swords into Plowshares. And it's sculpted by a Russian sculptor, Evgeny Vukotich. And it was given in 1959. It's a man hammering a sword into the shape of a plowshare, a plow blade. Ironically, it's a gift to the United States or to the UN from the Soviet Union. It's pretty ironic because I reckon that between them, the USSR and Russia and the USA, the country where it's in, has spent more on armaments since 1945 than any other nation or all the nations of the world put together. But anyway, there it is. And you know that theme, let us beat swords into plowshares, comes from another chapter in Micah, chapter 4, where although the word shalom, peace, does not appear, nevertheless, the concept is there. The idea is there. They shall beat their swords into plowshares, their spears into pruning hooks. Nation shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war any more. But everyone shall sit under their vine and under their fig tree, and no one shall make them afraid. Chris has got a vine and a fig tree, I think. So he's able to sit there, unafraid, underneath them, and celebrate life. It's a picture of biblical contentment. It's a vision of how the world could be, a world where there's harmonious relationships and shalom of peace. It's what God wants for us human beings, and of course it's what we want too. Well now, 750 years after the prophet Micah was writing, Jesus said this, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God." So how can we be peacemakers? Well, probably, firstly, within our families this Christmas time. Now, there are times in family life where things go really well and where things are just terrible or a struggle. So maybe God's purpose for you and me, giving us the resource of shalom to work from him through us to others, are going to be with our families this Christmas. And that's sometimes a real challenge. And maybe sometimes in the Proverbs it says sometimes when you don't say anything, you keep silent, that's the best thing in the circumstances that you're in. So sometimes this Christmas you're just about to say something critical, something just to get back at your sibling. I'm just looking at the Johnson siblings. You know, I'm thinking of my own grandchildren and my own children, you know. We're just about to say something. You think, oh, right, yeah, okay. I'll just... Anyway... And it's a year, this has been a pretty difficult year, hasn't it, in our society. The atrocities of the Manchester Arena, London Bridge, Borough Market. How about looking out for opportunities to make good relationships with people that we might consider to be other, not like us? Remembering in the Gospels, it was shepherds who came to worship Jesus. And the shepherds were reckoned to be very lower class, outcasts of society, the bandits of the day. Their word was not taken in a court of law as being worth anything. And yet God spoke to them through the angels and they came to see the baby Jesus. And the wise men from the east, they were Zoroastrian, magi, priest, philosopher, astrologers, astronomers, people from what is now Iran. So I'm sure it makes President Trump very pleased to hear about the magi from Iran today because he hates Iranians, it seems. But, I mean, they were from different ethnic backgrounds, and yet they came to seek for the king of the Jews to worship him. So what about people from other ethnic groups here with us in the UK? Do you know anybody from a different ethnic background within your circle, your sphere of influence? We may not be able to bring about peace on a worldwide scale, but we can receive perhaps the peace through Jesus into our life and maybe have an influence relating to people that we might have to step over a bit of a cultural boundary or a friendship boundary in order to be able to be with and bring something of God's peace into their lives. And maybe they'll bring some into our lives too. So let's be open this Christmas to sensing God's opportunities and promptings. Usually I realize just after the opportunities pass me by that God has been saying, you could have said something, you could have done that. You know what I mean? I'm just, as John Wimber used to say, a day late and a dollar short. And remember that prayer invites God into situations. And as we do so, be encouraged, because God definitely wants to bring his shalom, his peace, to human beings. Remember what the angels sang? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace among those with whom he is pleased. So because God wants to bring peace to people's lives, let's be agents of peace, peace bringers and peace makers, wherever we can this Christmas time. And we can pray with St. Francis, Lord, make me a channel of your peace, of your shalom. Let's pray. Lord, help me, help us all to live faithfully and lovingly for you this Christmas time. Please, Lord, would you use me, use us, to bring something of your shalom, something of your peace into people's lives this Christmas time. Amen.